Hello, everybody. Welcome again. One more time. Quarantine edition. I messed up already. Totally local podcast. Talking all things Monmouth and Ocean County. The ups, the downs, the highlights, the lowlifes, everything in between. TotallyLocalPodcast.com. Find us on Instagram, Totally_Local_Podcast. Facebook, just write in Totally Local Podcast, and I think we should come up, hopefully, as number one. With us today, as always, Aaron Levine, LG Insurance.
What's up?
The Ultimate Connector, bringing us wonderful people like John here from ServPro of Eatontown, Long Branch area, and beyond. I'd imagine Monmouth and Ocean County is not a problem for you, John.
Not at all.
John Majeski, ServPro, thanks for joining us. We're gonna get into it because some people might find these things that we're about to jump into not as exciting as others. I, for one, can talk about mold remediation, having gone through certain things. I could definitely talk about, you know, having to disinfect, clean stuff, fire damage. I imagine you work with you work directly with the insurance companies, so that's where you would kind of connect on that level. It's not like people are calling you up and like they're like, you know, house is on fire and they're like, hey, can you come over here and clean this up? It's definitely a process, right, John?
It is. First off, I just want to thank you guys for having me on here today. So it's a pleasure to be speaking with both of you.
Thank you.
And to jump into it, yeah. So most of the work that we do is with insurance companies. But ServPro is a franchise, so it's nationwide. There's over 1,700 franchises across the country and then a few in Canada. So we have a great brand recognition. So people sometimes don't even reach out to their insurance companies first. They'll call us directly. And so sometimes we end up beating the insurance companies out there. But, of course, part of it is with the insurance company referrals because we have a lot of national accounts with carriers.
So, I didn't know where to start. There's a lot of stuff. I would like to talk about, say, back during Sandy. Did you, there's a lot of stuff going on then. And was that a jolting experience for you to have like such a huge disaster like that happen? And then I would imagine you were kind of inundated with calls, no?
We were, yeah. So, I mean, we had a wait list. Weeks long with Hurricane Sandy, just because the volume of calls. So what we did is we brought in franchises from around the country to come work with us. So we had people from Florida, Chicago, Tennessee, and all the parts in between to come work for us, just so we could take care of all of our customers.
Nice.
As best as possible. Because when something like that happens, it doesn't matter if you got 10 employees or 200, you're not going to have enough.
Yeah,
right?
It's just so. All like this huge spike of just everyone needing it. And mold is no joke. Mold bugs me out. Mold bugs me out more than a lot of things. And mold is like, you have water damage. It's going to obviously lead to mold, mold issues, mold damage and stuff. When Sandy went on my mom's house, I really didn't have anybody. It was chaos. So you didn't really have people to ask, what was going on. Some people were like, should I take all of the sheetrock out? Should I take, the insulation? Should it only go up? And I bugged and I took everything out. I took it down to the subfloor. Obviously I had help. It wasn't all these guns doing it, but you really see how fast like mold can just kind of like set into a house. If you don't have it taken care of, if you don't have it cleaned up, it leads to a lot of problems, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it definitely can. So, and that's what obviously we specialize in. So that's why we're talking about it right now. But when things get wet, you got to make sure you dry them out quickly. And that's probably most of our business that we do is water damage cleanup. Mm-hmm. So what that is, like you were saying, is removing the wet building materials, bringing in air movers, dehumidifiers, and drying things. Because if you dry something quickly, you're not going to get the mold grow.
Yeah.
So mold needs three things. It needs oxygen, which is obviously everywhere. It needs a food source, which could be dust. It could be the building material. And then it needs water. So food source and oxygen are always there. So when you add the water, that's when you get the mold. So if you dry it quickly, you don't even have to worry about that. So that's why we come in, air movers, dehumidifiers, and try to dry it as quickly as possible. So you don't even have to worry about the mold.
So on your website too, it says 24/7 service, like emergency service. So yeah. Is your phone, I mean, that's like, I salute you, because I would not want to be woken up to, like, you know, oh my God. And, like, you know, you have to calm somebody down and, like, you know, is that what your life is like, basically?
It is. That's how it is, because the quicker you get to something, the less secondary damage you have. Right. So if it's a water damage, it won't spread, maybe hit your wood floors. It will just stay contained in one room. So we had a job this weekend. The guys were out until 4 a.m. And that's pretty much every weekend. You know, we, whenever people call us, again, 2 a.m, 4 a.m, I mean, we go out there. I mean, that's what they expect from us, and that's what we offer. But it can get crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure. But John, just from the, you know, I don't know how many minutes we've been talking here, but just from that time, you're like a very zen dude, John. So, like, if I had something go on, I would want to call you up and be like, you know, hey, I can imagine me, like, freaking out and then talking to you and be like, yeah, be right over. And just kind of scooting it over there and taking care of the problem. So, you know, I dig what you're putting down. I don't know if, you know, the thing, I guess, that's obviously on everyone's mind is, like, the coronavirus, COVID.
Yeah.
And people, you know, you got to separate, you know, the fear and the anxiety from, like, practical solutions and practical steps. You know, people look at, obviously, the first responders, hospitals, salute them, so happy that they're, like, they're there taking care of what they need to take care of. But even beyond that is the economy and getting businesses together. And also, you know, just making sure that things are disinfected. And it seems to me that you kind of, you know, hit the ground running with this and kind of have it up on your site and have kind of already put some information out there. You know, what does that whole process look like, you know, as far as cleaning a building for this?
Yeah. So when everything kind of first came out with the coronavirus, when people started getting affected and, you know, everything shut down, you know, Serpro is a franchise system, was kind of looking and saying, okay, who wants to do this? Who doesn't want to do it? And the way we looked at it is, you know, we already do fire and water damage. We do biohazard cleanup. So this is right in the wheelhouse of what we do. It's an extension of the services that we offer already. And we looked at it as an opportunity to step up, you know, help the community. You know, it's a service that needs to get done to help with the recovery effort. So, you know, we got on board with doing it right away. So essentially what we do is we follow CDC guidelines. We make sure all of our employees have the right PPE, or what they call personal protective equipment. You know, that's respirators, Tyvek suits, the correct disinfectant, you know, gloves, all that stuff, to make sure we do things the right way. So we offer precautionary cleaning, which is like, if you don't have anybody that has been diagnosed with coronavirus, but a business wants us to come in and, you know, do cleaning to protect their employees and protect their customers, that's what we're doing. Then we're also doing confirmed coronavirus cleaning as well. So we're doing both.
Wow. So, as far as an office building or a company, like, how, it sounds like a pretty, like, deep clean, like, how often, this isn't something you should do every day, because, like, you know, Linda, the secretary, will be sitting at her desk, and it just, you know, if there's disinfectants going on a daily basis, that can't be good for Linda, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so we have some customers that are essential businesses that we're there 5-6 days a week, so we're there all day, every day, re-cleaning like break areas multiple times a day. So it depends on the situation, right? So if we're doing what they call precautionary cleaning, when you don't have any confirmed cases, what we're doing is we're wiping down, we're cleaning all the touch points, and then we're fogging with an EPA registered disinfectant. So we're applying a sanitizer, a disinfectant to that surface area to, you know, help hopefully inactivate, you know, whatever's there. So it's a multiple step process. You hear about some people talk about just fogging. Mm-hmm. We always like to clean and then fog, whether it's us cleaning or their normal janitorial staff cleans, and then we come in and we sanitize. So it's kind of like a multiple step process of those touch points for the precautionary. And then if you have a confirmed case, you're cleaning everything. So you're cleaning anything that person could have touched. If they're at their desk, you're going inside their desk, cleaning items, you know, inside, cleaning everything. So it's kind of two different levels of clean.
So the former, the latter, I don't know, the last one you mentioned, it's pretty thorough. Is that, you know, that just kills any virus that is in that building? From what you're telling me, it's like, it's, you know, there's no viruses in there after that.
Well, it depends on, you know, we can't guarantee we can get rid of everything, uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're eliminating most of the possibility of getting affected by something. You know, there's still a possibility. And what we always tell people is we could come in, we could do the best job in the world. We could send a huge team of people in there. You have somebody come back in that building and they sneeze and it recontaminates the building, you know? So that's why a lot of businesses are having us do it either daily or weekly. So it's a little bit more consistent cleaning.
Would it behoove the businesses to like let people know? Do some of the businesses you've worked with like put a sign up or just put it out there on social media and be like, hey, you know, just to let you guys know, this is what we're doing, XYZ. Like, is that something you've seen businesses do?
Yeah, some businesses know. They just kind of they're kind of not really in the public eye, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Certain businesses are, and yes, they post that on social media, and then they use that as, you know, kind of competitive advantage. Look, you know, we care about our employees and we care about our customers. So that is something that we do see.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, you're sitting there like the Sphinx. You look so you look like you got something to tell us. And I haven't heard from you today. How's it going, man?
What's up? You and John were on a roll, and I was just sitting here. I've got my popcorn. You know, you said no one cares, no one's interested. You know, I love what John has to say.
He's breaking it down, man. This is some serious. These are things that people got to think about. You know, opening up businesses and you know, not worrying about the what ifs and not like, you know, oh my God, like you got to like deal with the situation, and we have to like move on as a society to get to a point where we could reopen these businesses. So what John is breaking down for us is very important, in my opinion. What do you think?
It's huge. It's important, you know, and getting back to occupying buildings and offices and hotels and anywhere and in retail shops that, you know, people want to congregate in. I don't know if we have to sanitize and disinfect the beaches, but you know, everywhere else, it seems like, you know, people need to take certain measures to both protect their employees and their customers. You know, and the services that John is providing are huge. You know, like this proactive stuff with John is great, because usually when I call John, you know, if it's not to go get a drink, it's, hey, somebody had a fire, somebody had a pipe burst. You know, I need you to get a crew over there. And, you know, and then I'm like, hey, make sure you get money, because I don't know if these people are going to pay you later. you know, so those calls suck for all of us, because then we're waiting on the insurance companies to pay. And, you know, right now it's really about getting and staying ahead of it. And those businesses that are in front of it early are going to benefit, you know, early and often with respect to getting open. But protecting your employees is going to be huge for most office-related, retail-related businesses, because people are going to be hesitant to go back to work.
Absolutely.
So we just want to make sure, and me as an employer, my building is empty right now. I'm here by myself. I've got my daughter in the other room. She's watching some Prime show, I think Dino Dana.
Nice.
You know, but at some point when we're a couple of weeks out or 2 weeks out from people occupying the building, we need John to come, and we need a deep clean done, and we need the place fogged, and we need it disinfected. We need it ready for people to come back to work with their masks on and take their temperature and all that stuff. It's going to be interesting for the next couple of months to see how we all function when we're allowed back in public spaces.
Aside from like John working with, you know, remediation and like fixing, you know, like water damage and stuff like that, if you have a work environment and you don't kind of take the necessary steps, like the precautions to clean it and make sure, you know, it's as clean as possible. Aaron, could that somehow fit into like EPLI or like a business, like a person working for you, employee, coming in and being like, you didn't do this right, and now I'm all sickly? Like, is that a possibility?
There's going to be a lot of stuff coming down. You know, we're going to see lawsuits coming from all over the place. You know, people complain on social media like, oh, I went into this place and this guy wasn't wearing a mask. If I get coronavirus, I'm suing them. Like, you know, good luck suing them to prove that's the only place you've been in the last, you know, 4 months.
Yeah.
That you absolutely contracted the virus there. Same thing with employees. You know, employees, if they did get sick for workers' comp, would have to prove that they got it for work, would have to be a frontline type of situation. You know, like John's employees are frontline. type workers, hospital workers, anybody else that's frontline would be okay with workers' compensation. But then there's employees claiming that they were in an unsafe or hostile work environment, so to speak, that their employer didn't do the right thing. And, you know, and then they got sick because of it, or they're afraid to go to work because of it. So there's a lot of fears that employers should and do have with respect to bringing their employees back online and back to work. There's one law firm I know that filed over 100 lawsuits in a week, about 2 weeks ago,
whoa,
based off of employees suing employers for unsafe working conditions. So it's a bit out of control. And I don't expect control to come anytime soon. So we'll just, you know, we're those employers that have the right insurance in place will get defended when need be.
Yeah.
But it's going to take years to figure out how these lawsuits all start to shake out with the EPLI type claims.
And some people don't even know. It's not like the employer is like, you know, I'm doing this on purpose. I don't, you know, some people just literally don't think about this stuff, which obviously, you know, isn't good. It's not good, much like water damage repair and restoration, which John does take care of. And
that's right.
It says repair and restoration. So if you have water damage, if a flood happens or a room kind of gets, you know, filled with water, what we were saying before is you have to take all that out. So where does the repair or restoration come in? Like, are you guys replacing sheetrock and stuff, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we're a full service company, meaning, you know, we do the initial mitigation work so that we get that phone call from Aaron that somebody, you know, God forbid, had a fire or a flood. We go out there, we clean it up, we mitigate it, we dry it so you don't have mold. And then what we do is we come back and then we put everything back together. So we have a reconstruction department that handles all the reconstruction. So we can do everything from beginning till end. And, you know, we started doing that because customers were so happy with us on the mitigation side. And they're like, oh, I wish you just took care of this for us. It'd be so much easier just to deal with you. We have a relationship with you.
Yeah.
So, a few years ago, we started doing it all just so we can, you know, take care of the customer. It makes it easier for them.
Is that something that, like, ServPro, like, as a franchise normally offers? And then you guys just kind of adopted it into what you were doing? Is that kind of how it happened? Or is this, you know, something that you kind of thought of and just kind of went for?
Yeah, so we're all independently owned and operated, all the different franchises. So ServPro starting to get into it as an organization more, but we were doing it before they were kind of pushing it as an organization.
Nice.
Again, just because all of our customers were asking us, hey, we want you to do this too. So it's like, well, you know, why don't we start doing it?
Yeah,
so
that makes
sense. So we've been doing it for a number of years now.
It was so, I was let's just say younger, obviously, when Sandy happened. And it was so frustrating to not have anyone, like, no one to ask, yeah, nothing, like, what the hell do I do? My mom, you know, she was like, she didn't know what to do and she couldn't handle it at the time. So, like, going in there and having somebody to just, you know, from the beginning, which is, all right, there's a bunch of crap and damage in here, what do I do, to actually having it done and then restored, or at least a plan worked out. I mean, that's pretty nice. That's a pretty nice way to go about it, you know.
Yeah, and like you were saying in the beginning, you know, when people calling us in the middle of the night, people freaking out, you know, part of what we do is, you know, it's not just coming in that simple, just doing the work. I mean, we're holding their hand, we're calming them down, we're explaining, hey, here's what we need to do, here's why we have to do it. And people in those stressful times really appreciate it because, you know, how often does the individual person have a fire or flood? You know, maybe once in a lifetime, roughly once, maybe twice with a flood. So they don't know what to do. So that's why we come in. They really appreciate our expertise when we show them and guide them through the whole entire process. So I think that's a, you know, big value of what we do is just guiding them through and calming them down in those situations.
So what is, as far as like the disinfectant you're using, it's hospital grade plant based. So, and the EPA kind of approves it. It's not some like funky, like Agent Orange. Like I had this landlord once, oh man, Ocean Grove. I loved Ocean Grove. I had a view of the ocean. It was a grove. It was great. And the landlord just was like, all right, I'm going to shellac. I'm going to stain the floors downstairs. Don't worry, you'll be good to go. And like, I slept there and I was hallucinating. I had to go out on my balcony at some point, you know? So I'm not saying, obviously, when you're doing this stuff, when you're like bombing a place, putting it out there and disinfecting it and cleaning it. It's not like you should definitely not sit in there while it's happening, but you know, it's hospital grade and plant based. So that's relatively, you know, on a safer side than just some kind of funk that could be out there. Right.
Yeah, like in the past probably five to seven years, the new disinfectants that have come out are just so much better than stuff that we had in the past, meaning that they're, like you were just reading, plant-based. They're a lot less harsh, but effective than the chemicals that we had previously. So, so we always make sure that we use the best products because we want to keep our customers safe. But at the same time, it has to be effective in killing or inactivating, you know, what we're trying to clean up. So like people are always asking about, you know, with COVID-19, there's nothing that's tested for COVID-19, right? Mm-hmm. But there are some products that are approved by the EPA that you're allowed to use those products. So we always make sure products that we use are approved for that.
I mean, I would imagine that if it kills one virus, I'm not a scientist. But I would imagine.
You can go there.
Yeah, exactly. None of us are scientists, but I mean, if it kills one virus, you got to have a pretty good chance of it killing another. And I'm sure. Is there different strengths for different times, or you know, kind of like what you're saying? I guess they improve a formula or figure something out. They could kind of update it or change it, right?
Yes. I mean, like you, I'm not a scientist. So, but everything that I read, you know, all the research that I do, I stay on top of this stuff. You know, pretty much on a daily basis. So there's certain disinfectants that are certified for different things, right? So what they do is there are other coronaviruses. So they were certified for the other coronaviruses and, you know, they gave the certification to go ahead and take care of this. And obviously I'm not involved with any of that. They have a thing called the EPA has a thing called emerging pathogens program that they use to identify disinfectants to, take care of things like this, you know, to help kill things like this. So the EPA and the CDC comes up with what is acceptable.
You've been working with first responders in and around you know, the area, Rumson Fire and Rescue, Eatontown First Aid, West Long Branch Fire Department. What is that that's got to be on a regular basis. Like, what's that process like to, like, you know, and obviously everyone congratulating or saying thank you to first responders at this point, it still needs to happen. Obviously. I don't want to say it goes without saying, but you know, thankfully they're all out there. They're dealing with the people that, you know, some situations that might be ridiculous. They're dealing with obviously people that are getting sick, and then you're coming in and making sure that they're safe because they're putting themselves at risk, and you're coming in to kind of clean up the vehicles and the buildings. Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So what we've been doing for the first responders, our way of saying thank you is we've been doing some things called First Responder Fridays, where we're having first responders and medical personnel people come for free, and we would, you know, help clean, apply disinfectant in their vehicles, right? Because they go to the hospital, they go to their job, whatever they're doing, and then they get back in their vehicle and they feel like it could be, you know, contaminated.
Yeah.
So we were having something where they come in, they schedule with us on Fridays. We come in, we were cleaning their vehicles for free, the interior of them. Mm-hmm. And same thing, we're going to some of the different firehouses, police departments, and doing that for their buildings and their vehicles as well. So we clean everything first using an EPA registered disinfectant, and then we're fogging with that same disinfectant. So, you know, trying to reduce the chances of somebody getting something.
That's cool.
So they're always on the front lines for us. So it's something we wanted to do to say thank you to them.
So you do that every Friday, and how could people, like, could these first responders just, do they pull up to your building, or do they call you? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so what we did it for a month straight. Our last one was actually last Friday. Mm-hmm. And they would get in touch with us on Facebook, or we'd send out emails, and they would schedule a time with us just so everybody wouldn't come at the same time.
Yeah.
But we're looking to do something else. I'm going to be doing an announcement. We have something bigger we're trying to do. You know, how can we help more people? so to speak. So we're kind of working on the finishing touches of that. So I'll let you guys know once we got that figured out.
Sweet. What's the average, you know, a police officer shows up in his cruiser, like what's the average time it would take to like clean that cruiser to like a, like the optimal level?
Yeah, roughly 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because after you're clean and when you apply the disinfectant, it needs to have a certain dwell time, meaning it needs to just sit there. So many people think you just spray it, you wipe it off, and you're done. You need to let it dwell so it can do what it does to kill or inactivate any viruses that are there, bacteria, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's about 15, 20 minutes roughly.
When are you going to make this special announcement? Is it going to come in a couple days, a couple months? What are we looking like?
I'm hoping early next week.
All right, cool. All right. I think we went over a lot. Aaron, did I cover a lot here? I had a lot to talk about.
I think you hit it all. I feel like I should have John come to my house. I mean,
yeah, I don't think I'm doing it right. Everything you described, I'm like, I am definitely.
Wait, wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh, the one thing I wanted to talk to you about, if you're willing to talk about it, is the biohazard or biological contaminants. Like, yes. Are we talking about like possible crime scenes? Are we talking about like the bodies and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man, have you been in any kind of, and you know, we can pass on this one, but like, you know, have you been in any kind of funky situations where like you show up at a house and it might have been like, let's just say, contaminated for like a couple days and stuff?
Yeah, so what I always tell people, if it's dirty or nasty, we probably clean it up, right? I mean, so we see all kinds of crazy situations. And the biohazard side, yeah, we see a lot. I mean, you can just use your imagination to imagine what we clean up.
Oh, man.
So we see everything.
Is that the kind of a situation where you might not get a call from the insurance company? You'll get a call from like first responders, police, people.
Exactly.
Okay. And they would
So here for the first responders, or you know, most of the time family members for the biohazard. Okay. You know?
I see.
It could be something where somebody passed away and they were there for you know extended period of time. It could be medical situation where you know somebody got blood or feces or something like that. But yeah, that's something that we do quite often.
Are you covered? Like, do you catch a whiff of any of this stuff, or are you properly like, is there any way it doesn't seep into, like, have you ever caught a whiff of anything, is basically what I'm asking.
Well, yeah, I have, but it's so important to have the right PPE, that personal protective equipment. So we go in, we have the full white suits, you know, we have multiple layers of gloves on, we have full face respirators. You know, because you don't know that if there's blood there, you know, maybe the person had hepatitis, maybe they had AIDS, HIV, you know, so you need to make sure you protect yourself. So we stay pretty, you know, so most of the time you don't smell anything, but sometimes you do. And nothing bothers me anymore after doing this job.
Have you ever had to like slap a rookie before and been like, snap out of it, because they were like, they couldn't handle it? Like any situations like that ever occur?
No, we always make sure we get people that are veteran people on a job like that. We don't want to bring any new guys and, you know, send them into something like that where they're freaking out. We make sure we get everybody that's vetted to be doing it.
That's very logical. I like where you're coming from with that. That was pretty much my, you know, I was saving that for the end, because I was like, is this, you know, anyway, it's something I want to know about. Aaron, anything else that I didn't touch on? How's the PPP? How's that going? Are we in good shape, or are we not in good shape?
So there's still PPP available from what I'm understanding. So I think those who wanted to get it have been able to get it, because so many channels have opened up for it. Now the conversation has shifted to what is forgiven, what is the process to get that loan turned into a grant. You know, we had our accounting friends on a couple of weeks ago, and I've been in touch with them to see where the rulings are, what portion of it's going to be taxable, what's not going to be taxable, what's forgiven, what's not forgiven. It's just a total mess, because there's no real good guidance when it comes to the PPP and the forgiveness, because there's certain requirements with hiring employees back. So it's a little bit all over the place. So if anybody got PPP and has a question, reach out. We're following it. But we have Anthony Moriello, who was on a couple of weeks ago. He's got his spreadsheets. He's going to share them with us. and give us the lowdown, and maybe we'll bring him back on to,
that sounds
to
share perfect.
What to do there. But you know, if you got money, that's great. Take your money, do whatever you need to do with it. And then if you got to pay it back, you got to pay it back. But yeah, the money's still available. So if anybody hasn't gotten their PPP and wants it, can still definitely apply.
To definitely, I mean, the sooner the better, basically. If you haven't done it by now, you should definitely do it if you've been on the fence.
For sure.
But I think that's anything else, Aaron? We good here.
No, I think we're good. I think it was great. I think John gave us a good overview. I think I'm going to talk to my landlord about bringing ServPro in to do a pre-office opening cleanup for the entire building, not just my personal space. Because I think it's important. I think it's good employee morale as well to say, hey, we're doing the right thing. You know, we've got masks. We've got the PPE that's required for an office space. We can socially distance in here, yet be together again. And we're taking the precautions to get the office clean. So I think that's important. And I think that's a great message to send out to everybody.
Thank you.
Can I do a quick shout out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Shout outs are always welcome. Epic shouts are always encouraged.
So I just want to do a quick shout out to all my teammates, everybody that I work with up in Hackensack, Little Ferry, and Eatontown Long Branch franchises. When all this happened, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. People are, you know, scared, obviously. But everybody answered the bell. Everybody is working. Maybe not all at this location, but all my production employees are out there helping the community get things cleaned up. Nice. My office staff is working from home, but they're all doing a fantastic job. I couldn't do it without them, and I just appreciate them, you know, working during this uncertain time. So.
Well, that's great, John. John Majeski giving epic shouts to everyone he's working with. I love that. That's a first for Totally Local. John Majeski, water, fire, mold, storm damage, commercial services, ServPro of Eatontown Long Branch. Look him up on Facebook. ServPro Eatontown Long Branch.com or ServPro_ELB on Instagram. 732-858-5416. Your building's nasty, and you got to talk to John, okay? Please do that. Aaron Levine, LG Insurance, thank you so much, and thank you so much, guys. This has been great.
As always, great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.